Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, Tucson. You know what it is. Today, it is Higher Ground with Dr. Hope. You know, like I said last week, let me tell you, wherever you're doing, go ahead and just put pause, because right now the priority is listening to the show with Dr. Hope on Higher Ground. Listen, go ahead and get your coffee together. Get your coffee, put your cream. I don't know if you like hazelnut, vanilla, whatever you like, a half and half. Hot chocolate, I don't know what you like. Fruit Loops, Apple Jacks, Captain Crunch, Frosted Flakes, Corn Flakes, Bran Flakes, Raisin Bran, whatever it is. Cream of wheat or oatmeal. Get it together, because you're on one of the best shows in Radio Land with Higher Ground with Dr. Hope. Listen, let me tell you, a lot of people ask, hey, Dr. Hope, what is this show about? We're loving it. We've been listening to it. It's a show that talks about relevant topics such as mental health, and topics such as equity and criminal justice reform, bullying, all these different things that are relevant topics of what our nation and our community is going through. And me being a mental health professional as well, I understand that we have to get the a word out and get the awareness out and educate and inform our community. We have so many individuals that are suffering from mental health. Our stats today showing that 1 out of 5 Americans are diagnosed or struggling with some type of mental health today. And so that mental health can look like depression. It can look like anxiety disorders or PTSD, schizophrenia, and everything in the middle, from bipolar disorders and mood disorders and different mental illnesses. And so we have to get the word out, let people know that if you are struggling with mental health, please get help. Let's get rid of the stigma that if a person is getting help, is seeing a therapist or seeing a counselor or a psychologist or psychiatrist, that they're labeled as crazy. Let me tell you, that is not the truth. Listen, if you can go to a dentist and get your teeth fixed, and if you can go to a cardiologist and get your heart fixed, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with getting a therapist and a counselor to get your mind fixed. So let's get rid of that stigma, and let's let the community know that if you're struggling with depression or having suicidal thoughts, get help. Call somebody. Find a therapist. Even at the bare minimum, contact a crisis center that you can get the support that you need. All right. We're here again every Saturday. We're here every Saturday at 10 a.m. And so from 10 to 11, it's an hour show where we talk about relevant topics. And again, we're back on mental health on today. And I am so honored and so happy to have my sister in the community that's doing some great things in mental health. She's a licensed clinical psychologist. Her name is Dr. Ballard, and she has a specialty in trauma. So today we're going to be talking about early childhood trauma, because we realize that a lot of our kids that are struggling behaviorally and academically in the classroom, a lot of times we don't realize it's not because they're ignorant, it's not because they're dumb, it's not because they're stupid and they cannot learn. It is perhaps maybe just on socially, emotionally level that they're just not prepared for the classroom because of the pain and brokenness of their earlyhood trauma. And so today we have Dr. Ballard with us today, and she's going to be my guest. We're going to be talking through early childhood education. Good morning, Dr. Ballard.
Good morning, Dr. Holt. I'm so happy to be here. It is an honor. And I'm excited about what we'll be discussing today.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So give Radio Land a quick introduction of who you are, your credentials, and what type of services you're offering.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So my name is Dr. Letitia Ballard. I have a private practice in Green Valley, Arizona. I've been out there for about 3 years, and I've been in private practice since 2014. Born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And so, you know, I started out in the field, just being in Philly as a young child. People would just come up to me telling me about problems and situations that they had never shared with anybody. So I said, well, you know, if this continues to happen, I think I need to go to school and find out how I can help him. And so that's what I did. I feel like this is my calling. I'm also an ordained minister. And, you know, I just love helping people.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And so as you know, as well as probably Radio Land know, and probably our whole city know, that Dr. Holt is a trauma expert as well. So I travel throughout the nation training and teaching educators and counselors and psychologists about trauma, being trauma-informed, trauma-sensitive, and trauma-responsive. And teaching and training on the neuroscience piece of how trauma affects the brain, and obviously that affects the lives of individuals, and is really, really impactful on children. It affects the architecture of the brain. It affects learning and behaviors. So if you could just talk a little bit about that, what you've seen as a clinician that's coming into the office.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a person who comes into my office who hasn't been affected by trauma at some level. And I personally feel like, you know, trauma is one of those things that, you know, people don't talk about a lot.
Yeah.
And especially as an African-American growing up in the inner city, I didn't know anybody who went to counseling or went to therapy. And, you know,
that's true.
We were at the gathering and we were talking about the stigma and why, you know, minorities, you know, don't receive services. I thought about it and I said, well, you know, we saw people get shot. You know, we had family members who were robbed at gunpoint.
Yeah.
We had, you know, family members who, you know, were on drugs and alcohol and were stealing, and, you know, family members dying of cancer and different things at a young age. And I said, none of us went to therapy, know? And I thought about that and I said, wow, you know, how helpful would that have been if we, you know, use the services? So now as a psychologist, I see a lot of people, they come in, you know, from other races, and they come in for those things, you know, but they're not even at that higher level of someone getting killed. You know, it may be that we just moved.
Yeah.
And I'm bringing my son or daughter in to receive help.
Yeah.
You know, and I look at that and I say, wow, that's really great that they saw that, hey, they were just struggling, or, you know, they're having difficulty making friends, so I'm going to bring them in to get help. You know, they're feeling rejected.
Yeah.
And those are things that, you know, as a minority, I don't think a lot of people, you know, look at and say, oh, let me get my son or daughter help. They're struggling.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's awesome. And so we were just having a chat outside of the studio talking about trauma. And, you know, like lately, hey, in the last several years, it just seemed like trauma has been on this big forefront. You know, where's this stuff coming from? And, you know, obviously that a lot of people throughout the years probably didn't even realize what trauma was and being traumatized. You made some great points, you know, living in the hood, not having food to eat. Poverty is a trauma. Some people don't have a home to stay. So homelessness and matriculating from group homes and foster cares is traumatic. Sexual assault and abuse, obviously some big areas of trauma. You know, a lot of times, you know, we've seen people in our, especially in our community, things that happen like that in the family, we kept it hushed. Don't you say nothing, be quiet. But what happens is you see all of these behavioral issues that's consistent even to what mental health, obviously, if you don't address trauma. So we know that when we look at trauma and we look at the APA that came out with PTSD, post-traumatic stress, and giving us a real diagnosis of we can call it something to address trauma. So in your eyes as a clinician, to help Radio Land understand, when we say trauma, what is trauma? What is trauma doing to us?
Mm-hmm. You know, that so trauma, I believe, is when we have an encounter with something that, you know, it really, in two parts, it's a disturbing experience to us, but it also affects us physiologically. So a lot of times when we have trauma, we have heightened senses of arousal where our heart starts racing, you know, our eyes may start twitching. We experience this whole flight, fight or freeze response.
Right,
and so
right.
our body, you know, experiences something.
Yeah.
Our mind, you know, we may feel, you know, really anxious at that point, a time afraid, really sad. All of those things where you experience a heightened sense of arousal is really a traumatic
That's
experience.
Right.
And so a traumatic experience can range from a multitude of things.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just one thing. You know, a lot of times when we think about trauma, we think about a soldier going to war.
Right.
Yes,
right.
That's a traumatic situation, but losing a parent in a divorce can be
right.
just as
Very
traumatizing.
Traumatic. That's right.
And a lot of times we don't think about that. So
yeah.
trauma, you know, is something significant happening to a person that
yeah.
also spikes some type of physiological response.
I'm loving it. I hear the passion. You're blowing up. I see the juices flowing. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Hey, guys, I know you listen to Radio Land. If you want to chime in and talk about your trauma or you've experienced trauma or early trauma in your early life and you feel like it's still affecting you, you want to make a comment, feel free to give us a call. We are accepting live calls right now. Call us, area code 520-790-2040. That is 790-2040. Call in right now. It's getting good. It's getting good. So we want you to stay tuned and stay locked. This is Higher Ground with Dr. Hope. Oh, y'all know what that is. That's Marvin Gaye. What's going on? What's going on? Well, I can tell you what's going on is that we're here on 1030 The Voice with Higher Ground with Dr. Hope talking about trauma. We're really getting it going. We can feel it's getting a little warm in here. As Dr. Ballard is letting us know about trauma. And so let's shift a little moment. Let's go into a little deeper in regards to trauma. And let's talk about early childhood trauma, because that's the topic of today. And the reason why I wanted to talk about early childhood trauma, because a lot of times adults wonder why are they having so many struggles mentally and emotionally today. And sometimes they forget to realize that if you don't address your past hurt, because as you know as well as I know, when we even say it, I say it, is that hurting people hurt people. And so when people hurt and they inflict pain on others, it's because usually they've been broken and they have not addressed those areas of brokenness, and they're hurting on the inside. And so when you get into friendships and you get into relationships with people that have been severely traumatized without addressing some of those pain and brokenness, it affects you and affects everything that's connected to you. And so when we go into childhood, trauma gets a little deep, you know, because when we look at the CAT scans and look at the brain versus a child that has not been in trauma, we see there's a big difference in development of the brain. The scan shows that the brain is underdeveloped, and usually that creates opportunities of illnesses, and also the cognition is compromised. So being able to pay attention in class and perform academically, it negatively affects our children. And so and we talk about childhood trauma again, I alluded to some of the things that a lot of families don't know. When we say trauma, that's not always the big carjackings in the community or someone getting shot. You know, when we look at trauma, we talk about early childhood trauma could be a chronic trauma such as poverty. You know, we have a lot of kids that go to school and the only food they have is what they get from school. When we talk about childhood trauma, kids are abused. They are neglected. They're maltreated. And we are seeing high numbers that this abuse and maltreatment is coming from a caregiver and from a family member. And by the time they get to school, sometimes teachers don't understand, why is this kid not performing? Why is this kid showing so many behavior issues? And if we're suspending them, we're kicking them out of school, you know, and that's not working. It's because of the hurt and pain that they're going through. And so let's talk a little bit about how that affects our children today in life and in school.
Yeah. And so, Dr. Holt, you know, when children are traumatized, then something happens in the brain and they have this difficulty with self-soothing and self-regulation. And so they're just not able to perform the same way because of the trauma that happened. And a lot of times, you know, the kids are, you know, trying to self-soothe in a way that's external, mm-hmm. you know, and it happens a lot with young men, whereas girls, they pretty much do things that's internal, and you'll see them sad or you know, staying by themselves or isolating and things like that. Where typically young boys, they act out. And yeah. so they often get identified with labels like ADHD. Uh-huh. And mm-hmm. so when we look at, you know, that, When I was working in schools, we often saw them move to the special education classroom,
right.
where nothing was wrong cognitively as right. far as academically right. and IQ-wise, but because their behaviors, teachers weren't able to, you know, recognize the trauma, deal with them in a way that was helpful for them, self-soothing and things like that, then they would just, you know, push them aside
yeah.
And label them. And they wouldn't receive the services they needed academically to strive.
Wow, wow. Okay, and so when we are looking at that, and you hit some great points, and I'm hoping people are listening, and if you have a kid that's really struggling with their early childhood trauma, you know, give us a call today. We want to hear from some callers today. Call us at 790-2040 because it may be your child. Maybe your child, you know, has been diagnosed. And, you know, you make a great point. I was just at training and teaching in my class in Denver yesterday, and I was informing the psychologists and counselors and speech pathologists, you know, sometimes we have to slow down on the diagnosis, right? Because mm-hmm. We know that when kids are going through a hard time with early childhood trauma, those symptoms can be consistent with a disorder, and it may not be that they even have the disorder. And if you really don't peel the layers of the onion and really understand their trauma, mm-hmm. you know, any practitioner can just look at the DSM and say, okay, it looks like you have bipolar disorder. Well, mm-hmm. if you've been molested or sexually assaulted by a caregiver since you've been 5 years old, I think that's going to affect your moods a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't understand that and have that intel information to understand where that pain and brokenness come from, is really hard to help our kids to heal. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and another thing that, you know, is big right now is the bullying.
Yeah.
And so yeah. we see kids that are, you know, prior to all of this technology, they would just get bullied when they went to school,
yeah.
you know, or
yeah.
after school or before yeah. school.
Right.
But now with cyber, you know,
yeah.
and all of the social media platforms, kids are being bullied, you know, not only in school, but right. out of school.
Out of school.
And these things are serious, you know. Yeah. And so suicide, we're seeing more kids with suicidal ideations right
okay.
now. And bullying is a serious thing.
Yes,
kids feeling rejected, that's really serious. And that's something that sometimes, you know, parents, I don't feel like take that so seriously. I have adults who still come to see me who were in middle school and had a hard time, but
wow.
that never got dealt with.
Wow.
And
wow.
so those traumatic experiences of bullying can leave a really serious impact and can go out, you know, go with you throughout the rest of your life if they're not addressed.
So would you say that bullying is a traumatic experience?
Yes, bullying is definitely a traumatic experience.
Awesome, awesome. And you make a great point, is that we have to address it because if we don't, we know. When we look at even the ACE model, that when people qualify for more than four or more ACEs, their traumas affect the body. You know, they're more prone to chronic diseases. They're more prone to self-medicate and start turning to alcohol and drugs. All right. Look like we have Monisha on the line. And we're going to get her into the show. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Hall.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Thank you for dialing in. We're glad to hear from you. What you got a comment or what's on your mind?
I did. I wanted to address the fact of the diagnoses. I was a math teacher for several years.
Okay.
And I'm a high school counselor in the local area now,
awesome.
Even though I'm also military. But
yeah.
But what I saw as an educator is with the diagnoses between communities, especially with African-American youth, is I worked for a long time in Dallas Independent School District.
Okay.
Where we were very slow to diagnose, because if a child can connect with one teacher,
yeah.
then there's a there's a high probability that they're not special education, that they're having some other issues, right?
Right, right.
And that person has found a way to connect with them.
Right.
Where I find, so it was, the diagnoses came a lot slower. There was a process by which, you know, they looked at other things and they said, okay, this is not, you know, the diagnosis is not a cognitive issue.
Right.
It's behavior. And why is it behavior? There was a look. Here in Arizona, I found, and I've been back home for about 5 years now,
yeah,
I find that it's so quick for our African-American youth to be titled with special education because, again, with the behavior. So I just wanted to say I absolutely agree, but I find that in communities where there are more African-Americans, that diagnosis is a more holistic approach versus, oh, yeah, they're acting up. And it could be one teacher, one class, but they don't stop to take a look at, okay, maybe the problem is not the student, maybe it's the environment. And I'm not going to point fingers or at anybody or anything,
yeah,
but sometimes just making those connections makes a difference. But I did find, and you know, like I said, I've done this a long time. I've been in education for 16 years, but I find that in communities where there are more African Americans, there's a more holistic approach than here, where sometimes our kids are just thrown, hey, here's a label to attach to, and then they think that fixes it instead of actually looking at the whole baby, the whole student, the whole child, you know. So I just wanted to say I'm enjoying this talk, along with your guest speaker. It's been amazing, and I just wanted to say I agree. But those are the things that I have seen in my communities working. So
yeah,
thank you so much, Dr. Holt.
Yes.
And y'all have a blessed day.
You have a blessed
too. You too.
All right. So she make an awesome point. And that kind of like takes us to the next level, dealing with trauma in the classroom. And believe it or not, and you know, and I want to, let me say this first, we do have some great teachers out there, some great educators that's making a difference and making an impact. But we do know that sometimes trauma is exacerbated because of the fact that re-traumatization. And what I mean by that is the kid is already, or the student is already going through their own trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come into the classroom, because they don't get that connection and the teachers don't build those relationships to where, especially kids of color, you know, where our kids sometimes looked at as more having more behavior problems and aggression, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of really supporting them, we throw them into ex-ed or special ed. Or throw them out, right? Suspend them out of school, expel them when they really need that support. So you wanted to touch a little bit on that.
Yeah, and I would say even, you know, out of, like you said, taking them outside of the school, but even in our juvenile, you know, detention centers, we find that 50 to 75% of the children there actually have mental health disorders.
That's right.
And so we notice this, you know, with our young people as well as adults, that people are more often labeled as having a behavioral, you know, problem or being a criminal or something being wrong with them behaviorally, when it really is an emotional, and psychological issue.
That's right.
And so, you know, one of the things I want to encourage, if anybody's listening who's a parent, you know, trauma can be addressed, and it can be addressed quickly.
That's right.
You know, EMDR, that's one of the therapies that's used for treating trauma. They say in 4.5 hours, if it is a single trauma, it can be treated within that time.
Yeah.
And so getting treatment, I want to encourage, whether, you know, whether it's a divorce that a child has experienced, maybe it's a parent who's just sick, that can cause trauma to a child, or a child dealing with a chronic illness.
Yeah.
That can be traumatic, getting a bunch of needles poked in you, or having to go to the doctors, or having to wear something that's, you know, causing you to look different than another child.
Yeah.
So get your child help. What happens is when you have multiple traumas and things that build up, it's a little bit more complex and complicated to treat. So if you deal with it when it first happens, you know, it's a lot easier to deal with. And I see kids who come into my office, I may only see them 1-2 times, sometimes, you know, a little bit more, but kids are so easy to, you know, our bodies are meant to heal itself.
That's right.
And so with giving them a room and a space to deal with whatever the traumatic situation is, it happens quickly. Adults take a lot longer to heal because oftentimes they've been traumatized, then they're traumatizing somebody else, and then they're being traumatized again. Yeah. So it's a little more complicated, but even adults can be healed.
Awesome, awesome. This is good stuff, guys. You're listening to Higher Ground with Dr. Holt and my special guest with Dr. Ballard. Look, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Got to pay some bills, but we want you to keep it locked with Dr. Holt with a Higher Ground. See you in a bit. This is Dr. Holt, and you're listening to Higher Ground. We're so happy to be on air. We're happy that our caller called in. We want you to call us, 790-2040. We're talking about trauma, early childhood trauma, and this is awesome, right? I've always had a vision to have a radio show where we can just really be real and have those tough and brave discussions and topics on different areas in mental health, and we know that early childhood trauma is real. One of the other things about trauma that I would like to talk about is what we talk about is historical trauma and generational trauma, where trauma is so vicious in our generations that we create cycles, right? And we just continue to keep those vicious cycles going on, far as abuse and far as poverty and, you know, not being able to shift our mindsets and change some vicious cycles far as historical trauma and generational trauma. So Dr. Ballard, talk to us a little bit about seeing also when it gets to trauma where it embeds generational. It's start going into the second and the third generation. And when you look back, you see the daughter went through it. You see the mother went through it. You see the grandmother went through it, or same way on the son's side. You know, you see the son has temper problems and aggression. The father had it, and the grandfather was traumatized and never healed, and which creates sometimes domestic violence. So it gets really deep, in the home. So let's talk about a little bit about the historicals and the generational traumas we see.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's a. That's a big topic, especially, for a lot of minorities here in the United States of America.
Yeah.
And so, that's tough. We're talking about cycles and cycles and we're talking about breaking the cycle. Yeah. And oftentimes it is difficult for people to step outside and to break the cycle, to step outside and even talk about it. You know, we've had a big movement for women recently talking about, I've been assaulted,
Right.
We have 1 in 3 women who have the chance in being sexually assaulted, physically assaulted.
Yeah.
And so when you look in a room, when I first was told about this in class, and I'm like, wow, 1 in 3 of us, but nobody's talking about it.
Right.
And then when you look in your family, it's like, oh, well, Uncle Jimmy did this to me too. And oh, such and such that happened, but nobody's talking about it.
Right.
And so it is important for us to speak up and to speak out. And even from a spiritual perspective, I often tell people, the Bible says to talk about things, to talk about healing, to talk about, whatever the sin was or the fault was, I would say whatever the hurt is, and then that healing happens when you do that.
Right.
And that's one of the benefits of just coming into therapy, is that sometimes just by exposing it and giving light to it, that healing begins to happen. So it is important, I would say, for historical things, just to talk about it. I was watching a show, and I'm thankful for seeing, thank God for media now.
Yeah.
I was watching a show, and one of the young men on the show, I think it's called Family Reunion on Netflix.
Yeah, okay.
And in one of the scenes, the kids were trying to get into a house, and the police came, and they, put them down on the ground. Hmm. And I'm like, for some of the things that, young black men see happening, they have and live in that fear, of something like that happening to them on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So you take that and you go into school with that on your mind. Well, when I'm walking home,
Yeah.
So it's important for us to just talk about these things.
Yeah. You're right. You know, and I think you had talked about EDMR, which is one therapy treatment. You know, CBT is another. You mm-hmm. know, that's cognitive behavior therapy is also a great way to just get you to address some of the issues. Because one of the things we realize is that you can't conquer something if you're not willing to confront it.
Correct.
You know, and a lot of times people still don't get help because of the stigma.
Yes.
You know, we still having issues in just about every community of mental health, whether I talk to a therapist, a counselor, or a psychologist, or a psychiatrist, we all say the same thing, is that we need to create a platform where people can talk about their pain and talk about their trauma. Now, another thing I want to talk about, and I talked about a little bit on the last show on last week, is that we just don't have mental health in the community. We have mental health in our congregations.
Yes.
We go to church. We worship with people that is broken, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, that's okay if we can start there and admit that there's some areas where we can address. And you know as well, sometimes Christians, you know, we like to spiritualize everything. We
yeah.
just want to shout, fall out, have a good time,
yeah.
you know, and there's nothing wrong with emotionalism. But at the end of the day, are you healthy? And also what we're seeing as well is we're seeing that the church leaders that we've been able to go to and dump all of our problems and all of our traumas on, mm-hmm. we don't realize we re-traumatize pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And pastors don't have a platform, and church leaders don't have a platform. It's a double standard. It's like, okay, if you need help, then you something wrong with you, you know. But no, I mean, if you stay in the areas where people are always pulling on you, always depending on you, and they always bringing their hurts and their pains, and you never get a balance to where you can address some of the things you're going through, it creates an imbalance, and it makes us traumatized as well. So if you could talk about on the spiritual side, about, you know, and this is the question, is your pastor mentally healthy? We're not talking about anointed. We're not talking about being gifted. We're not talking about we can hoop and holler, all of those things, right? But after the benediction is done and the lights is out,
right?
You know, are we mentally and emotionally healthy? Because if we're not, how can we be there for our congregation? So I know you're an ordained minister as well, so I know we can go there
yeah.
and talk more on the spiritual side as well. So what are your thoughts on that?
Wow, that's so much in that.
It's a lot of meat on that bone.
Well, you know, I think it starts with us being honest and real. It goes back to
yeah.
that confession piece.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when I ask you, how are you doing? And you yeah. tell me, oh, I'm a blessed and highly favored.
Praise
and
the
I'm
Lord.
Annoyed, you know. God is good.
I'm blessed and not distressed.
Right. That didn't tell me anything about how are you doing.
Right.
And the one thing I love about the Bible is the people were real. You
right.
know, if you,
right.
you know. If you hurt, you hurt.
Right, right.
If you need healing, it's can't even say you sick.
Yeah,
Well, where's your faith?
Right, right,
hey,
right.
Hey, Jesus came to heal the sick. But first it has to identify that, hey, I
yeah.
have a problem.
Yeah.
I have an issue.
Yeah.
So, you know, it goes to this, you know, if you never ask, how are you going to receive?
Right, right.
Right? So people need to ask for help.
Yeah.
That's number one. That's
yeah.
accountability.
Yeah.
You know, ask. Let someone know.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of times, you know, we've taken prayer. Prayer is for people who need Jesus,
right,
who
right.
need help.
Right, right, right.
But if we're not even, you know, it's not even okay to say I need help. And this is sad.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I've seen people
That's
who
right.
came, who've come in for therapy and they're depressed and they feel bad that they're depressed.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right.
And that's sad.
Still human.
So that's a cycle, right?
Yep, yep.
That you can't break because now you feel bad and people feel bad. Well, I should have more faith or I should be able to do this. Well,
right.
let me tell you something. Even in the Bible, there were ministers, there were people of God like Timothy who was still dealing with a physical
that's right.
health issue.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So not
and
everything.
And Elijah that went through depression, had a good day a day before with killing
on.
All Jezebel's prophets. And then the very next day, he was depressed, sitting
yes.
up under the tree, saying, Lord, kill me.
Yes.
You know, so.
And we see that with Jonah.
That's right. That's you right.
You know? And if you're dealing with, I say, Psalms is full of
that's right.
a person dealing with some mental health
that's right.
issues.
That's right.
And so it's okay. It's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be broken. It's okay to not be feeling good. And it's important to tell someone because it's not until you confess it that I can join in with you and we can pray about it. You can talk about it so that healing may occur.
Yeah.
That's so important.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how healing happens yeah. in first confession.
Yeah. And that's great. And again, we have to get the stigma addressed because it gets even higher when you start talking about leaders, you know, because it's like we have this platform where that if I'm struggling, and then also identifying with the struggles, right? Because a lot of times it's hard to tell when you talk about church leaders, you talk about pastors, because, hey, you got a wonderful ministry, you're preaching the word.
You're dressed and pressed.
You're dressed and pressed, you're looking well, everybody's smiling and dialing. And then all of a sudden you hear in the news that same pastor committed suicide.
Correct.
You know, we didn't see the triggers. We didn't see the red flags. We have to create a platform that if they did say, hey, I'm blessed, I got all this going on, but I am struggling. And what do we do with it, you know?
And then one of the things, too, is that as a pastor or a leader, if you don't deal with, and even as a teacher, if you don't deal with your mental health, with your trauma, then you end up hurting other people or creating a stumbling block them to receive their healing.
That's right.
So at first, you have to come off and say, admit to your weaknesses. That's important. And then I believe as a congregation, as a body, we'll be a lot healthier.
That's right.
And Jesus, he was one of the most prayingest people, and yet he was Jesus. So that's important for us to be real. And if Jesus had to, if he cried, if he wept, it's okay for you to cry. It's okay for you to weep. Why do we create an environment where that's not okay?
And you're so right. And so when we're talking about, and we're, you know, if you're just dialing in, you're on the show with us on from 10 to 11 at Higher Ground with Dr. Hope. We're having an awesome discussion on early childhood trauma with my special guest, Dr. Ballard. She's on point. You need to go to her office and check her out, talk to her, get a consultation going, because I'm sure she has what it takes to be able to start the process of healing. When we talk about early childhood trauma as well, let's talk about getting a little bit deeper. Well, we have to have those brave conversations about abuse. Okay, abuse is deeply layered. It's historical trauma. It's generational trauma if it's not addressed. So what are we seeing with people that has been traumatized by being abused physically, sexually, emotionally, verbally, where their self-value has been stripped? They've been called out of their names. I mean, and these are from caregivers. These are, and you know, those kind of like the quiet secret sins, right? We don't talk about that, you know. But if you don't, it just create more problematic issues in your adulthood. So if you can just talk a little bit about how traumatic abuse is.
Well, yeah, I'm happy you brought that up because one of the things we look at oftentimes is the physical.
Right.
We can see that. We can see a black eye. We can see a bruise. We can see a broken arm. But the emotional is just as strong. And studies say that it's even stronger, right?
Yeah.
What we when we're verbally abused and put down and belittled, that those types of things are just as damaging, and some and most studies say that it's even more damaging than physical or even sexual abuse. And so that's one of the things that's historically passed down, culturally passed down, that it's okay, but it's not okay. It is not okay, and it is damaging, and it is hurtful. And so the kids oftentimes experience this sense of powerlessness, you know, and feelings of inadequacy that are traumatic, you know. And so those are things that are kind of untalked. We don't talk about those things. Then kids end up being adults, and they end up being in abusive and unhealthy relationships, you know, or unhealthy marriages. And so, and then their kids are seeing that where the parents are putting down or talking down or abusing, you know, each other. And the kids often No, the kids are traumatized even in that.
Wow. So that's awesome. Stay right there. I see the juices is flowing. We want to come back and we want to hit that again on talking about early childhood trauma and abuse. We've got to take a break. And so stay tuned. We still have a few minutes if you want to call in. This is Higher Ground with Dr. Hope. Keep it locked. All right. It's celebration time. You're here listening to Higher Ground with Dr. Hope. My special guest with Dr. Ballard. I mean, we were really going in, having a great conversation, talking about trauma. And you have a few more minutes to, if you want to call in as one of our callers, or you can always email me at higherground1030@gmail.com. Send me an email if you can't call. If you need to call, want to call, call me at 790-2040. So Dr. Bella, let's talk about also when we talk about trauma, how traumatic when I'm dealing with kids with early childhood trauma in the school systems. I notice that when I'm working with kids with high levels of trauma, is that when I sit down and talk to them, the first thing when I'm talking about, and they immediately start crying and getting emotional, is when I talk about single parenting household. And we know that, especially in the African American community, that it's far too high. So what are your thoughts on traumatic experiences with kids that don't have fathers?
Well, I think that, you know, the breakdown of the family is one of the most, you know, detrimental things that's happening in our society. And so it's huge. You know, I think it's a, you know, a spiritual, I think it's a spiritual attack where we think that, you know, you don't need a father. You don't need, you know.
Yeah.
You don't need them. It's not important. It's very important.
Very important.
It's very important. It affects children all the way up until they leave this earth. You know, I find adults, you know, are still dealing with the rejection, the abandonment, feelings of loss, inadequacy. Children have a tendency to blame themselves.
Yeah.
When things happen with their parents. It's just a tendency that they have, even though it's not logical, that tends to happen. And so because of that, that affects children's self-worth so deeply. And so it's very traumatic.
Yeah. Most definitely is very, very traumatic. I would like to close out on this segment on dealing with trauma is how important, tell us about how important is self-care. And tell us where you practice at, you know, so if we have any potential clients or someone that wants to see you and now listening to you on the radio show, where can they go to get a start conversation with you in regards to perhaps being seen as a potential client? So let's talk about close out on how important is self-care, because we know a lot of times people that have to work with individuals with a lot of trauma can also be traumatized as well, right? And so we have to find a balance on how to keep our own selves healthy. So let's close on that because I don't have that much time, but if you could in a brief statement talks about the importance of self-care, and then tell us where your office is at and how can you help.
Okay. Yeah, self-care is very important. You know, having someone to talk about, you know, the Bible says that there is safety in a multitude of counselors. And so having a support team, having, you know, working out, exercising, massage, getting massages, you know, taking care of yourself, your diet, eating healthy, all those things are important for self-care. Spirituality, we all have a need for that's just innate in us. We have a spirit. We are spiritual beings. And so we all need to connect at some level spiritually.
Yeah.
My practice is in Green Valley, 210 West Continental Road. We're in suite 216B. I also have a women's empowerment group. We have one in Tucson and one in Green Valley. We meet on Mondays. And so my website is www.shefalife.org. And that's SHEFALIFE.org. You can find out more information about what we do there.
All right. And tell us about some of your specialties.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I specialize in children and adolescents. I treat using cognitive behavioral therapy as well as EMDR. And I also, you know, for those who would like, you know, a more spiritual component added, we also do that. I involve, you know, the Holy Spirit. I involve prayer into good our stuff. Sessions.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do believe Jesus, you know, one of his primary ministries was healing and deliverance.
Yeah.
And he cared about the sick and the lost and those who were hurting. And so I believe that's my mandate, and that's what I'm there to do.
Awesome, awesome. And I want to thank you for your husband allowed you to come to be with us. And what do he do? I'm just curious.
He works for the government.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
We met in the Army reserves, and yeah, that's how I ended up out here in Arizona.
Yeah? Wow, okay. And your family, how many kids you have, and whether they go to school here or?
Yeah, my kids, I have 3 sons, 8, 10, and 12 now. Yeah, and they're really great kids, and yeah, they go out to school, you know, near us in Sahuarita.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I tell you, this has really been great. It's been a blessing. It's a breath of fresh air to just be able to have these tough conversations about mental health. You know, a lot of times you hear a show, whether if it's TV or radio, they just have like a little segment on mental health, and then they just move on for the rest of the year. You know? And I was like, man, you know, we're not getting no love out here, you know, and our people that need our help is not getting any love out here. Mm-hmm. And we just are so happy that you took out the time to come to Higher Ground, and you know, most definitely, I know you said, hey, this is your first, so you never done radio before.
I've never done radio, but this has been a blessing. It's been fun, and you know, people are important. You know, your life is important. You know, I feel like sometimes people take more care of their car, you know, getting oil changes, maintenance, you know.
Yeah.
We need to take care of our mental health as well. It's more important.
You make a good point.
It's more important.
Great point. You know, we do oil changes on time. We get tune-ups. But what about your mind, man?
We have appointments for everything else.
Everything else.
But when it comes to our mental health, and even with marriage, I find people don't do the checkups that's necessary. Like, that's vital. That's important.
But
we have our hair appointments.
Sure
we have our nail appointments.
Sure
we have all these other appointments.
Yeah. Appointments even for kids, but not for couples.
Come on now.
You're right. And, you know, even I have to be transparent, you know, with my crazy, brutal schedule and traveling and all of that, you know, just trying to make sure I'm checking in and make sure me and my wife is okay and healthy. And, you know, sometimes I'll be honest, like sometimes I have to come up a little bit higher.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because that leaves room for us to work on things and have those conversations. And all those conversations is not fun. You know, you're like, oh my goodness, you know. But if you don't talk about it, you certainly can't address it, you know. And the healthier you are, the healthier you can be for your spouse, and then for your children, and then for your community, and then for your ministry. So it's kind of like it has a process of starting with us, making sure that that we are healthy. But again, Dr. Ballard, I thank you for being with us. It's great. Again, I know I'm going to have you come back, you know, within a year. It'll be something we're going to be touching on. I'm like, hey, Get some freight up. Y'all need to come back to Higher Ground. So, no, it was great. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. And people, don't be afraid to go to counseling. You don't have to go to counseling for the rest of your life. I think that's sometimes, you know, one of those myths.
Yeah,
sometimes people just need to come in and get a checkup, a tune-up. It may just take a few sessions.
Yeah.
But don't be afraid to go.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, guys, we're closing out. Thank you for your time. And on your Saturday, I know Saturdays is kind of like the day of rest and a day of planning and family time. So thank you for tuning in. We're always here every Saturday at 10:30, The Voice, from 10 to 11. And so please tune in. We are on YouTube Live. We are on Facebook Live. You can always call in at 790-2040. A couple things I want to get out before we close out. On this coming Monday, the IMA is having their town hall. We are resuming back from our summer break. And so we want you to come meet us at the IMA CAT. Community Action Team at the Dunbar this coming Monday at 5:30. We have a great great presentation for you. Our education domain is in charge. And the IMA is an organization I have the distinguished pleasure of being the president of. So we want you to come out on Monday night at 5:30. Our guest is Dr. Trillo, Dr. Gabriel Trillo, our TUSD superintendent. And we're going to be asking him some great questions. questions in regards to the African-American community. Pastor McDowell is going to be our facilitator. That is the chair of the education domain. So come out and support. And lastly, not only am I a mental health specialist and a neuroscience expert, but I am a pastor. And if you don't have a place to go for worship on tomorrow, please feel free to come and worship with us at the Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona. Our Sunday school is at 9 and our worship is at 10. We would love to hear you. Again, thank you guys. A great show, and we're looking forward to making an impact next Saturday at Higher Ground with Dr. Hull.